Chapter 9, Step 7, Strategic Partnership. Before entering into the world of martial arts, I loved another sport, soccer. Growing up in the 80s, soccer wasn't nearly as popular in the U.S. as it is now, so only the chosen few played the game. Well, that's how I wanted to believe it anyway. I loved every part of the game except for one, the position I played. Playing goalie has a lot of advantages, the primary two being that you don't have to run all over the field, and you can use your hands, but it also carries some serious repercussions. Every time we lost, it seemed like I always got the blame. Usually the team looked at me as if to say, well, if you had just blocked that one shot, we would have won. Of course, it felt like no one ever looked at the other 10 players who just might have dropped the ball during the same game. After 7 years of soccer, I had my fill of shouldering the blame for every loss. Fortunately, this was about the same time my mom asked me the multi-million dollar question, hey Joel, what do you think about trying martial arts this summer? Being temporarily fed up with my so-called team sport, I gravitated toward martial arts, mainly because it was originally an individual sport and conquest. If I won in this arena, it was due to the fact that I kicked tail and took names. If I lost, it was because I didn't handle business. My team only had one person, thus, only one person to blame or congratulate. Me. Or so I thought. During the first 10 years of my training and competition career, I fell into a winner's greatest deception, that I was a one-man show. I was dead wrong. Then I came face to face with this stark revelation. I had never won any medal, championship, or title on my own. There was a team around me the entire time. For starters, my parents constantly supported me on so many levels. They financed my training and competitions, transported me to and from the gym and events, and offered enormous emotional support throughout my entire career. Then there were my instructors, men who gave me their very best with the selfless goal of making me better than themselves. And of course, all of my classmates and training partners who endured the blood, sweat, and tears right alongside me as we sharpened ourselves for greatness. If not for all these and an army of others, I would never have stood on any championship pedestal. This is something every winologist needs to know. There is no such thing as a self-made man or woman. No one grows into their success by their own merits and efforts. Show me a winner, and I'll show you a team of people who contributed to his or her success. Every great success story, no matter how looming or iconic the personality may be, is a compilation of teamwork, compromise, and cooperation. Welcome to Winology Step 7, Strategic Partnership. Relationship. Strategic partnership can basically be boiled down to one word, relationships. It's the people you connect with and those who join themselves to you. It's practically impossible for me to overemphasize how important strategic partnership is in your journey of world-class performance. The value of connecting with the right people at the right place at the right time is immeasurable for your success. Rabbi Daniel Lapin says it best, your network equals your net worth. To become a world-class winner, you must quickly learn two things. One, recognize that relationships are currency. Two, see the value hidden within people who come across your path. Notice the punctuation of this section. Relationship. No, it's not a typo, but rather a way to view those who are sent to help you accomplish your mission. Allow me to explain. Our world is ruled by those who can maximize and monetize the shipping industry. Just look at global magnate Jeff Bezos, for example. In 1994, he established his internet company, Amazon.com. Bezos perceived the window of opportunity in the space of e-commerce and applied urgent excellence. As of March 2015, Forbes magazine reported Bezos' net worth at $34.8 billion, ranking him as the 15th wealthiest individual in the world. One of Amazon's main components to their success is shipping. Without it, products stay in warehouses and never reach the marketplace. Amazon isn't alone. Every product has to be shipped, be it airship, landship, or seaship, to reach its maximum potential of customers. While the Industrial Revolution changed our world forever by introducing various new ways of transportation, planes, trains, ships, etc., the original and greatest vehicle of value existed long before any of these modern-day marvels. It's called relationship. We've all heard the saying, it's not what you know, but who you know that counts. Even though I don't like downplaying the what you know part, and you had better have your stuff together when your time comes, the who you know that counts piece is very true. I like to say it like this. Who you know can launch what you know to a championship level. Do you desire to win at the highest level in your field? Then lodge this powerful truth in your brain. Your future success is riding on the strategic relationships you value, establish, and maintain. Establishing relationships is one thing, but it's a whole different ballgame to sustain them throughout the years. There's never been a time in history where relationships have been more disposable. Our modern-day society has trained us to cast away those who seemingly complicate, constrain, or potentially hold us back. Today, the flippancy by which we discard relationships runs the gamut from unfriending someone on Facebook to ending multi-year marriages and business relationships, many times over petty, compounding disagreements, selfishness, and differences of opinions. For some reason, until death do us part, or we're in this business together all the way to the end, has been replaced by Ricky Bobby's famous words from the movie Talladega Nights, if you ain't first, you're last. Whenever you have the temptation to walk away from someone who's been placed in your life to help you rise to the top, stop and ask yourself, is this really the right thing to do? It could be that this pain in the rear might be one of your most valuable resources. Maybe it's time to reconsider. Maybe it's time to see the positive aspects they bring to your life and future, and then weigh the balance before pulling the plug. The ancient Jewish adage, as iron sharpens iron, speaks directly to this reality. The people in our lives are necessary to sharpen us, and sharpening is rarely pleasant. I can attest that I would never be what or who I am today without the myriad of friends, family, instructors, teachers, and pastors who prodded me on, told me the truth, and encouraged me along the way. Did I like it all of the time? Most certainly not. Were there disagreements and differences of opinion during the course of those relationships? Absolutely. Did I just throw people who I didn't agree with out the window of my life, anticipating the next person to jump in and take their place? No. Even though I was tempted to at times, in the end, we stuck it out, even when the relationship didn't seem to be delivering the goods. I shudder to think where I'd be today without those who sacrificed and gave of themselves for me all along my journey. Many times they saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. I'm living proof that when you're connected to the right people for the right reason, you position yourself to be a recipient of the right things, even during the times you don't deserve it. So, how do you maintain and nurture such life-producing relationships, even with disagreements and differences? It comes down to one word: honor. Live by the code. With my undying passion for the martial arts, I'll give you one guess to name my all-time favorite movie growing up. Hint, it was the 80s. Give up? You better believe it, that Karate Kid was at the top of my list. Top Gun and Tombstone were a close second and third. I watched the movie so many times that I know every line, not to mention every move Mr. Miyagi taught his protege, Daniel-san. More than the crane technique and great one-liners, the movie also taught me a very important life principle, one that's a vital ingredient in the quest for greatness: the power of honor. To maintain strategic partnerships and win in life, you must adhere to an honor code. While the very mention of this term may conjure flashbacks of a code of conduct you signed at a school, civic institution, or corporation, allow me the opportunity to reshape your thinking. When you stop and think about it, most codes of honor are a dichotomy. They contain a built-in sense of fear as well as a potential sense of assurance. In the end, it comes down to this: adhere to the code and you're in like Flynn. Breach the code and you're out on your ear. This, my friend, is not the type of honor required to maintain healthy strategic partnerships. Honor is more than just treating someone with dignity. It's a universal power with a gravitational pull of both good things and good people toward your life. The power of honor, as difficult as it might be to comprehend, can yield some of the greatest results in developing strategic partnerships and exponentially enhance your future. The keys to activate this amazing power are simple. Learn what honor is and learn how to wield it. Let's look at both aspects. Honor versus respect. All throughout my martial arts training, I was forced to become well-versed in the subject of honor. It was a huge part of my training. In some respect, I was Daniel San. But instead of paint the fence and sand the floor, I washed the windows and vacuumed the carpet at my instructor's command. For years, that was part of my life. But just like young Daniel, I was learning a far deeper lesson than met the eye. One of the fundamental martial arts training requirements is to treat those who are your seniors in a certain manner. This was fairly easy for me in the beginning, seeing that all of my instructors could mop the floor with me. But as I advanced in skill and rank, it became more difficult to swallow. No matter how good I became at my craft, I was still required to treat my seniors in a certain way, regardless of their proficiency or conduct. That is when I learned the real distinction between honor and respect. Simply put, respect is conditional. Honor is positional. Respect is based on conduct and behavior. Therefore, it doesn't happen automatically. The old adage still rings true today. You gain respect the old-fashioned way. You earn it. Everybody yearns for some R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Thank you, Aretha. But not everyone does what's necessary to earn it. One condition that controls respect is your own core values. If someone has a track record of performing or behaving in a way that coincides with what you deem important and valuable, then respect follows. The opposite is also true. Honor, on the other hand, isn't rooted in conduct and behavior, but rather position and title. There have been many people throughout my life that I didn't necessarily respect, but treated with honor due to their position. Quite honestly, this hasn't always been easy, but it's been one of the most valuable, positively powerful lessons of my life. A number of years ago, I found myself working with a supervisor who was, well, let's just say he was quite difficult. Actually, demanding, rude, degrading, volatile, and manipulative would better describe him. I think he could have been a regular on Days of Our Lives. Needless to say, this individual pushed me to my limits numerous times. If I had a dollar for every time I envisioned unleashing a flurry of deadly ninja moves on him, I would have a whole lot of stinking money in the bank. Somehow, I mustered the ability to honor his position and keep my mouth shut. For the most part. The results? Unbeknownst to my supervisor, his behavior was being monitored by our CEO and board of directors. Within 18 months, he was released from his position, but that's just half the story. During that same time, my behavior was also in full view. At the end of the day, the honor I bestowed upon this man, because of his position, was returned to me with interest by the bigwigs of the company. After my supervisor's termination, I was promoted and well compensated. Looking back, the 18 months of suffering was well worth it. I lived by the code, the honor code, and learned a valuable lesson along the way. Honor is a universal force. Back to you. Much like the law of gravity, honor has incredible reciprocal power. The law of gravity says what goes up must come down. In the same way, honor has an incredibly symbiotic, empowering quality. When you give honor, honor returns to you. No matter what you call it, the golden rule, karma, the law of sowing and reaping, or basic common sense, investing honor absolutely works. Oftentimes, honor is returned to you from the individual to whom you gave it. However, this isn't always the case. As with me and my supervisor, the honor I invested in him, even though I didn't respect him, was witnessed by others who in turn moved to invest honor in me. The secret is to freely give honor with no strings attached. When you make the decision to honor someone, whether you respect them or not, you're not only investing in their lives, you're also investing in your own future. Every financial investor knows the acronym ROI, Return on Investment. It's basically what you can expect in return for your contribution. ROI isn't limited to financial terminology. It spans every area of life. For example, if you plant apple seeds, your ROI is apples. Plant potatoes, the ROI is potatoes, and so on. It's the same way with honor. If you invest in honor, you will receive honor in return. This principle has proven true time and time again with my sweet wife, Jennifer. From time to time, her sweetness is eclipsed by, well, let's call it semi-sweetness. The same is true of me. In our early years, we weren't sensitive enough to allow the power of honor to temper our responses during conversations. However, we were astonished to learn how quickly we both responded to just a dash of honor. Over the years, we've grown to understand that the honor we invest towards each other, especially in challenging times when it seems undeserved, actually pays the greatest dividends. My honor triggers a response, her honor, and vice versa. Honor doesn't come cheap. As a matter of fact, it's an investment of your time, energy, and even your resources. However, the relationships in your life which require this investment, your spouse, boss, parents, professors, business partners, mentors, etc., usually have a significant potential return for your future and your quality of life. Investing into these and other relationships can return enormous amounts of joy and satisfaction. Take them for granted, and they will cost you dearly. Recognizing the value and potential ROI of honor will position you to not only win in life, but remain on top. With all diligence, learn the secret of the honor code. Invest heavily in important relationships which hold the power to significantly impact your future. When you sow honor, you reap a life of success and winning. Now, you might be asking, so how does this mysterious intangible honor thing work? Honestly, I'm not quite sure. It just does. I've lived it my entire life. I don't fully understand the law of gravity either, but that doesn't make me any less careful while climbing on ladders. I'm not well versed in the laws of thrust and lift, but every time I'm on a plane, I'm glad they work. Honor is the exact same way. It just works. Don't kill the magic. As previously stated, no one becomes great on their own. The tendency, however, is that when we embrace the new true positive realities about ourselves, we neglect to apply the same mentality to the valuable people all around us. The ability to harness and preserve those positive realities concerning the valuable people in our lives is crucial in maintaining long-term relationships. It's those relationships which maximize the synergistic power of strategic partnership. How do you keep them? By being grateful. If we ever allow the deception of ungratefulness to enter our lives, our perception has the tendency to change. The magic begins to fade and we stop valuing the greatness in the partners we've been given. We begin to see ourselves as much better than we should, and we view others around us as less than they are. It doesn't take long until a lack of gratefulness towards the gift in others starts to severely limit our ability to coexist and procreate greatness. It seems world-renowned playwright George Bernard Shaw was onto something when he said, "The most tragic thing in the world is a man of genius who is not a man of honor." Think about it. There's no Ricky without Lucy, no Sherlock without Dr. Watson, no Penn without Teller, no Rob without Big, and no Siegfried without Roy. Magical partnerships are magical due to the chemistry between great performers. It takes a cast of many, not just a single talent, to produce a great show. Honor is the glue that holds them together. Ray Horn of the magical duo, Siegfried and Roy, understood honor to the degree that even after being mauled by a 400-pound tiger, he never blamed his partner, staff, or anyone else for the horrific incident. Why? Because honor doesn't point fingers. Honor invests in the future. What's even more incredible is that Roy even honored and protected the white tiger, Manticore, a vital part of the cast and a valuable contributor to the duo's great success, who maimed him and left him paralyzed. What some would call crazy, Winology calls dedication and commitment to the magic. Even with legendary solo acts like the great Houdini or David Copperfield, their greatness was only as great as their supporting staff. The magician's captivating illusions lay at the mercy of beautiful assistants, stagehands, grips, and technicians, all who made the magic come alive. Honor in relationships is what keeps the magic happening. do what it takes. Investing in strategic relationships is exactly that, an investment. Showing honor and gratefulness to those who are placed in your life to help you succeed is an investment of your time, energy, and even money. Take action to show your gratefulness. Send a card. Give a gift. Make a phone call. Set up lunches, and you pay for them, etc. Communicate your thankfulness for that person being in your life on a regular basis. Always remember these three powerful points about honor. Honoring your strategic partnerships guides and protects your future. Losing those partnerships will cost you more than you can ever imagine. Investing in those relationships will bring more ROI than you ever expected. So let's move on to our Winology Step 7 Strategic Partnership Assignments. Step 7, Strategic Partnership Assignments. Make a list of your strategic relationships. Beside each one, write how they are or have been instrumental in contributing to your greatness and success. For each of those people, make a list of their great qualities. Write out specific ideas and ways you can intentionally honor each individual in the most meaningful way. Commit to invest in those strategic relationships. Be thoughtful and specific. And most importantly, follow through. Strategic partnership is a major element in winning and staying a winner. Honor and gratefulness are the keys which keep them connected to you. I challenge you to let one of your life's mottos reflect the powerful, timeless words of William Shakespeare. If it be a sin to covet honor, I am the most offending soul. Fortunately, you need not covet hopelessly. You have the secret. Follow the honor code. Your future is bright. Strategic partnership holds the key.